Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Oh, perfect.
Okay, oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah, we're good.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we're ready. We're about to go live. Hey. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Not Boring Business Podcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Redman, founder of Air5. This is not suits and handshakes business. This is not boring business. Let's go. We got Jason here, Jason Horton.
Hello.
He is a, how do you describe yourself?
I like to consider myself a comedian, but from that, kind of a producer, content creator, just hot guy, hot model guy, I guess.
You do look like a hot guy.
I know, but like look past that. I got a brain.
I'm tiny. I'm smarter than this.
Yeah, not much, but I got a tiny brain.
Don't define me just as this one
hot guy.
This no. one hot guy. I'm no. People call me vain.
Yeah. People call me tall.
See, that's a comment I've never gotten.
Nah, I don't get that either.
See, I just not. How tall are you?
5'9".
Oh, see, I'm 5'7". So yeah. Like we can.
Yeah, we're in the same.
Commiserate.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's those 5'11 and up people. It's like, get out of here.
Get out of here. I tell my fiance this all the time. I say, if I were like 5'10", no one would like me.
Yeah.
I'd be this cocky fucking
asshole.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because you think you have it all.
Yeah, right. No one would like me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that 5'7 or 5'9 is hot. It's a sweet spot.
I tell people like at Air5 all the time, I go, or when they're here, I go, man, I hate being, and someone goes, no, you have these like broad shoulders though. And I go, okay, I'll take that.
Yeah.
Like, so maybe like the proportionateness of our bodies.
Yeah, no.
Makes it feel better.
Yeah, no, bro, I'd rather have broad shoulders than anything, than a paycheck. I'm kidding.
Okay, which brings me up to your word of the year, which is pizza.
It's pizza.
So like you want to get more paychecks. So you can buy more pizza.
Buy more pizza. Do more pizza-based humor. You know what I mean? It's like the most relatable thing.
Is that what you do with your stand-up?
No, not really. But I've done a lot of pizza-based. It's just an easy kind of go-to thing that everyone kind of can relate to.
Wait, so what is it? Can you tell a pizza joke?
I don't want to say
be funny.
It's not like pizza jokes, but it's kind of like what you would do or not do for pizza. I had a YouTube video that was pretty successful. It was about pizza. It was an interactive video, and it was about a pizza delivery guy. It was based on a true story when I delivered pizza. Obviously, it gets exaggerated for YouTube, but I answer the door, and it's like a hot woman in a bikini, and then what happens once I get there? And so you take these different roads and see where you get, and you click through on the YouTube video. But that's pizza-based.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pizza-based. And then there's also like – or there's the pizza porn video.
Never heard of it. I don't know what you're talking about. Sorry. I'd never heard of that.
Oh, okay. I thought that's what you wanted to do for 2018.
No. Oh, no, okay. I need the pizza more than I need the hole. I don't want the hole in the middle of the pizza. I need more pizza.
You want it all filled out.
I want filled with pizza and no penises, I guess. Or less penises.
At least less penises.
Yeah, less penises for 2018.
Okay. And more pizza. So you want to do, you've done stand-up?
I, you know, people, since I moved to LA, go, when can I see you do stand-up? And I was like, yeah. I don't do stand-up because my background is improv and sketch comedy, which I've been doing for about 12 years. I think people just looked at me and they're like, this guy does stand-up. And I was like, and I seem like somebody, and I've written it for people. And then I just made the decision. I was like, you know, from actually listening to podcasts that a lot of comedians do and being like, you know what, let me take what my comedy, and I don't have to rely on anybody else. I don't need these microphones. I don't need this computer. Yeah. I don't need the live stream. I don't need cameras. I don't need to ask anyone's permission for the most part.
100%.
And I could just take what I do and just get up there, and it's all on me, like win or lose. So I started, I got laid off from a job in past August, and that first day is the first open mic that I did, but I've been was writing
the
stand-up.
Ooh, nice. So what did you – okay, so this is what I love.
Yeah.
So I love a lot of pieces of your path, and we'll unpack a couple of them. Mm-hmm. But one of my 30 things in my 30th year, it was I want to do stand up. I've never done it before. And I've reached a point where I'm like, I think I heard Joe Rogan on his podcast once say that everyone should try stand up like once. And I go, That's probably the most nerve-wracking thing that could ever... Like, it's one thing to get in front of a camera or, like, in front of a microphone, like you said. Like, you don't need all these things. And there's a lot of... a little production value here. Getting up in front of someone where 20, 30, 100 people, whatever it is, like, looking at you...
That's pipe dreams. It's the 2030. But, well, from...
What do you usually get, like, or what did you get that one time?
There was maybe, like, it was fortunate. It was, like, there was only, like, 5 or 6 people there. And it was other comics. But I didn't care. But things I've been on stage. I performed maybe thousands of shows. I performed at the Palladium in Hollywood.
Oh, wow.
The Palladium.
Yeah, right.
No fear. Zero fear. Of course, it was a different kind of it wasn't stand-up, but it was kind of a comedy to an audience. First time I was going to do an open mic, even with my years of experience, panic attack. I still get that. I'm still very nervous, and I've been doing it. I've probably done well over 100 open mics in the last 5 months.
Wow.
Because I was like, I need to go all in or don't do it at all.
Yeah.
So I went all in and watched a lot of comics. It's grueling.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Like, I don't know if – I've been writing stand-up comedy. Like, I can watch it, and I've been kind of like some esoteric comics like – you know, Nate Bargatze.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I'm kind of bigger into him. I kind of like him now. I like the deadpanness.
Yeah. You know? He's clean.
Yeah, clean. He's a clean guy. And he had, like, the little Netflix special or whatever.
He's great in that. That was my favorite part. It was a
– Oh, you've seen it. Okay.
The compilation. It was, like, not just –
Yeah, him. It was like great. 6 people.
Yeah, he was my favorite.
Yeah. And what all the shows, I think, were, like, downtown at that one.
Yeah.
One old-timey bar place. But, like – I absolutely, and I kind of study people and how they deliver things and how they kind of tell. Some people tell a narrative, which is kind of what I want to do.
That's what I do a lot of storytelling, because I've been doing a lot of storytelling for years. So
yeah, sure.
But thing is, you need to write jokes. You need some of that because you can't tell a 15-minute story up there unless you're doing a storytelling show.
I mean, how much time do you get at the beginning, though? Like 5-minute set or
3 to 6.
Oh, okay.
So... So what I would do is I would have so many jokes, and I would, like, a machine. I just wanted the jokes from my brain out of my mouth into the ether. So I would just I would barrel out, like, 11 jokes in 3 minutes, you know? I had to learn that, like, you have more time, because I was just so, like – I was working like a machine to get that out there. Now I slow down.
That's good. That's
now
good. You can just move it back.
Is it okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, did it? I don't know.
Yeah, probably down. There you go.
Okay.
You were working with this mic last time.
Yeah. So right now I'm like, ooh.
No, you're confused.
Yeah. But like,
what do I do?
When you first, it's from somebody who's been up in front of thousands and thousands of people across the country, getting in front of 5 people the first time doing stand-up, absolutely terrifying. So maybe you'll have a better experience.
Oh, shit, yeah.
But I just needed to get it out, and it took a couple of months for me to now start slowing down. I speak really fast, if you can't tell.
You're a fast talker.
I am a fast talker.
But it's welcomed.
I mean, I get a lot of information out. If you need information, bullet points, I'll get the bullet points out.
I talk in bullet points.
Well, I'm used to, like, pitching. Like, I'm constantly, like, pitching myself.
Like shows or
pitching,
like,
shows. I pitch shows to a lot of networks. And I was like, I have very little time, and I need you to have all the information before I leave. So this way it's not like, you know what, I should have done this, I should have done that. This way you say yes, you say no, you have the information.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so, like, now, when you say you're around a bunch, you're thousands of people, are you talking about, like, a live engagement, or are you talking, like, your YouTube stuff?
I've done a lot of lives, ton of panels.
Oh, have
live
you?
Live speaking engagements, you know, comedy-based stuff, but none of it was stand-up.
Yeah.
But I've done a lot of hosting, too. Ton of hosting. So I've been on both sides of that, because my improv background, I can switch. You know, I can host, they're like, oh... Can you do this last minute? I was like, yeah, I don't even need any information, because I can kind of roll with it.
Dude, that's the point, I think, where I want to get. Yeah. So, like, when someone's...
Take an improv class.
Yeah.
I would take it. Yeah. Honestly, if improv has given me more than I think stand-up would have. Improv has, like, opened so many doors for me.
Really?
Absolutely. It changed my life.
Like, open doors as in the connections you've made at an improv class?
Auditions, meeting people, dating, anything.
Wow.
Because you can roll with it. You can switch gears. Because that's what it has to be. You have to be able to, like, almost speak on almost any subject. You can't be like, oh, hey, so then I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to talk. I'm just shut down. You can't shut down.
It's the whole yes and.
It's all yes and. And dating, you're become a good listener.
Yeah.
And sometimes people are not used to people being good listeners. And if you're a good listener, you're already a better person.
That's the gold here.
Yeah.
Is listening. I always say this. I'm the most, I actually said this at a network because we run a live event doing a podcast and stuff. And actually one is tonight. But I said to one, it was late in the night and it was the last one we did. And some guy came up to me and he was like, oh yeah. Hey, and I go, I'm going to stop you right there. I'm going to tell you this. And I said, everyone else you've met is the line. I'm the roller coaster.
Oh, okay.
I'm the most interesting person that you're going to talk to today. And he kind of was like, and I go, do you want to know why that is? That's because I'm the most interested person here. And it piggybacks right off your like listening more than you actually.
Who wants to talk to some bored person?
Seriously.
Be like, excited about it. I don't care what it is.
Yeah. Like I go, I'm an exciting little you know the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People?
I'm familiar with it. I don't
know. Okay, yeah. Like,
I have no
Dale Carnegie.
And
I've never influenced anyone.
Yeah.
So, like, as an influencer, too. And you go, one of the tenets in there was, it's like, no one's mad at, like, a happy dog. You know what I mean? Like, you can go, oh, get off of it. But you're like, if you greet everyone with excitement and, like, happiness, you can't be upset at that. And I always kind of took that to heart, and that's kind of how I meet every single person.
Yeah, I'm always more interested in the other person than I am in talking about myself.
Yeah, right.
Because so, I don't know. I just am because I'm getting something out of it, I feel like.
Yeah, like I feel like I'm on this constant path of learning. Like when we were talking pre-podcast, actually learning from you and kind of like more of your path is more interesting, I guess, than like spouting off about what I know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know what you know already.
Yeah, right. I know what I know. And a lot of that is nothing.
Right.
So I'm on this, like, I just want to learn from everyone else around me.
And then you might take that. I was like, oh, you know, you get into a conversation. It's like, oh, I was talking to somebody who was talking about a thing. So you know what I mean? Like, you're just gathering a lot of stuff. So you have a lot of ammunition to
that's
be interesting.
True. Yeah. Yes, that's a good point. So, okay. So we unpack a little bit of your stand-up. And you got into entertainment.
I moved from New York. I was always interested. I was living in New York, and I was always interested in comedy and like MTV's The State. I don't know if anyone remembers that.
Wet Hot American Summer, yeah.
They came from a show called The State. They were a sketch group. So I used to go to like live tapings at NYU. But it took me moved to San Diego, never been to California, just wanted to get out of New York. I went to an improv show, and I was just like, I should try this. And I remember when I was about to do the first show, I turned to my girlfriend at the time. I was like, I can't do this. But I did from 2004 to like 2015 or 16, I did improv non-stop.
Okay.
Non-stop. So that's what kind of like got me to, you know, I was taking classes going from San Diego to Los Angeles, going to the IOS, Improv Olympic.
Yeah.
So I was driving up there for classes and I just fell in love with it and I just immersed myself. Then, you know, the UCB Theater, I did a lot of sketch there and some improv, but I did a lot of sketch comedy there. I learned how to write at UCB, and I've learned from all the, you know, people from Upright Citizens Brigade, in case.
Yeah, sure.
The people that, you know, that created the school, except for Amy Poehler, because...
Yeah, Amy.
You know, she's too busy for me. but everyone, so I've learned from like really, really great people, and I've got a lot of opportunities. I wrote for UCB.
Oh, you wrote for UCB?
When UCBcomedy.com first went out, I wrote some original stuff for them. And yeah, from there, it's just opened a lot of doors, and I, you know, auditioning and agents. And but then I was like, when you're putting all your happiness in, like, did you book a commercial or was your improv show good?
Yeah, right.
I was like, you know what? I'm going to try to make my own stuff.
And that's
the road Then that was like a new road for me. That was like 2009.
That was in 2009? And you're originally from New York?
New York. I was born in New Jersey, and then I grew up in New York.
And one of the things that when I was listening to one of your podcasts with Noah, who was a guest on the show, was the funny quip about you being in like six community colleges.
Oh, yeah. I've had like 40-something jobs, and I've gone to six community colleges.
I think that is to come out and say like, hey, you're successful in your own right, right? Like I would consider it success.
Yeah.
And like to see come from like more of a uncommon path, I think is amazing.
It's relatable.
Yes.
My job is always been to be relatable. And that's because if I try to be like, I'm a hot rich guy in a Lamborghini, well, I don't have that. I can't do that, nor can I sustain it. But I can sustain this. Which I think is a lot more relatable than anything else.
This.
I mean, people don't want to hear. I don't want to hear from, like, I love Mark Maron's podcast.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a good
and
one.
And he, you know.
Wait, what's it called? Shut the.
What the fuck?
What WTF. The fuck, yeah.
He's older. He's, you know, had a, you know, he had like a kind of a late bloomer again, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And is really successful now. I want to hear more from somebody like that than some like 20-year-old whiz who's like a dot-com whiz. You know yeah. what I mean? I don't want to hear from that. Right. I want to relate to somebody.
Yeah, that's true. I think that's the one piece that I want. Like, because you define it really well. So like, maybe your 2018 word or 2019 word should be relatability.
Oh, I gotta wait to 2019.
You gotta wait, no.
Oh, boy.
Because you've already picked pizza.
Well, you know, the thing is, an advantage I have doing stand-up over maybe somebody else, which I'm learning from other people just getting started, is my personality is well defined.
Mm.
I'm also 44 years old, so I've had a lot of time.
You look so good.
Thank you. I had my first drink at 33. That's probably why.
That's probably why.
Yeah.
And I don't really drink. I thought you were like maybe 32.
I'll take that.
Shit.
That's flirting right there.
That's borderline.
That's flirting. That's good. No, I just have – yeah, I just kind of live clean.
Lived a good, clean life.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of
– you're youthful, though. You're more youthful.
Vitamins, exercise. I also, like, eat like crap.
You eat like crap?
You know, I don't do – I'm not, like, a health nut either.
Yeah, yeah,
but I've just – over the years of not drinking, doing drugs – now, like, when I was dating before I got, you know, got married, like, I was drinking a decent amount. But I was drinking, like, what the average person drinks. To me, it was a lot.
Sure.
But you go on a lot of dates or whatever. But I keep hitting this. My personality, like I'm well – when people see me like, wow, your act is really good.
Yeah.
Like you should go deeper into it. I was like, it's just me.
When they say your act, what are they saying?
This kind like, of like self-deprecating, this? Neurotic, the stories I tell – everything, nothing is cool about what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm always kind of just talking about myself, kind of like, well, this is it.
This we're is trying. Me.
And it's not fake. It's real.
But yeah, sure.
YouTube, improv, sketch has really helped me define what was already going on here. So when I get up on that stage, if anyone saw me, they're like, yeah, that's Horton. You know? No one's going to be like, wow, it seems like a different person.
Yeah,
but
sure.
But you need the jokes. Nobody wants to hear somebody just complaining, like a Jew complaining, you know? Yeah. You need the jokes to back it up, which sometimes I have, sometimes I don't.
And, okay, so, and that's another
share
thing.
This.
Do you have, yeah, share it. While
I, yeah, yeah, it. Yeah, yeah.
So, like, do you have a, so I always think about this. What is needed or what is kind of, like, how you're defined by what your history is? Right. So like from humble beginnings, or I remember because I started at community college and I was like, oh, this fucking sucks. Like,
well, you were saying like there's no the motivation to like
the motivation. Succeed isn't right. There's no real sense of community. So that's kind of funny. Right. Since it's called community.
Yeah. College. Yeah. It's probably the most separated. It's like going to a mall.
It's a mall. Know,
it's a mall with classes.
It's a mole with glasses. Okay, we'll have to.
That's okay. That's good. I'm writing that down. Mole with glasses. But it's what it is, right? There's the food court.
There's
a food court. And yeah.
Oh my god.
It's just like that's I'm gonna go funny. Shopping in like that's this philosophy funny. Class.
Oh, that's good, dude. That's amazing. Okay, so but yeah, so like there was no real sense of community, but I feel like there's other people like you and me there as well.
Yep.
Right, there's like these diamonds, and I'll say it. There's these diamonds in the rough, right? Like
very tiny diamonds.
These very that just need
you
a little.
Can't barely see them.
That need a little pressure.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So like for us, I go. I think. Do you think that you have benefited from that experience, or do you think like if you had the means or the smarts or whatever you needed to get into that Ivy League school or even like a big amazing school like Stanford? Do you think, like, how would your experience have been shaped differently?
One of my biggest regrets is not finishing college.
Oh.
But I also don't think by me finishing college, I necessarily would be better off.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like, listen, you know a lot of people that have finished college. So do I, especially in this town.
Yeah, sure.
Who's using what they're doing? You know what I mean? Like, they're still so, but it's that thing where I think if I finished it, I would have that finish what you start attitude, which I did not get until I was probably about 30.
Okay.
I'm a very late bloomer.
Like I'm a late bloomer too.
A late bloomer. So it took me till about 30 where I started to really 30. I became like about 20 or 19. Okay. So, but I do wish I finished. I do. It's probably one of my biggest regrets.
Your biggest regret.
Yeah.
Wow. It's funny that you say that because I always look at my diploma because I graduated from Michigan State and I go, that's the one thing that I wanted in life. I knew I would never use my degree. Like I got an accounting, I went fucking accounting and I hate it. I hate accounting and it's like well on record and you wouldn't look at me and go, he's an accountant. But I wanted it and I look at it and I go, that's probably like my greatest accomplishment only because it wasn't me to do it. And I had to like have this like existential growing exercise, like for like fucking 4 years, like it was something so turmoil. And I went through so much garbage when I had to like accomplish it. This is like easy for me to just be me and with a couple microphones, although it's somewhat stressful. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, do you have that kind of escape now?
I mean,
like where you're just you now and this is easy and it sells.
I think now doing the stand up, I think I've stripped down literally everything that I've done. It's imagine going from things where you're like, I need to get likes. It needs to have production. Where's the marketing? My email list or whatever. I got to get this out there.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, I've squeezed the comedy out and put it in front of the most lo-fi, low-production thing out there. So I've gone the opposite where stand-ups are like, oh, I need to get famous on the internet. So I already in some way have that.
Yeah, sure.
Which, trust me, I'm leveraging. Believe me, you know what I mean? Like, if I, you know, hey, I want to perform, you know, and they're like, oh, he's verified on Instagram and Twitter, whatever. They're like, I guess he's someone that we should have on here. They don't. I have bios on like huge comedy theaters across the country. I was like, I've never even been to your state. Why is there a bio of me as a performer at your comedy theater?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Yeah. Here, move your mic down a little.
Okay.
There you go. A little bit more. There you go. Perfect. A little bit over.
Over this way?
Yeah, over that way. Yeah, just pull it like that.
Like that?
Boom. Right. Okay, that's good. So, and I'm going to leave the halls in.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, this
raw,
is...
raw, baby.
This is all raw.
Yeah.
Okay, so I like that experience. You've been able... And that's another thing that I think about. So, like, Air 5 is my company and what I love. And then, so, like, building this company. And then Not Boring Business is my more personal brand and kind of talking with people like you about, like, their paths and pivots in life.
But it's audiences, right? I mean, yeah, it's audiences here, audiences there. And it's just about like growing. For me, it's just like growing audiences and then being able to like kind of share that within each other.
Yeah,
some people
right.
might listen to this podcast, might not care about Air 5, but
maybe
they will. You don't know until, you know what I mean?
I do notice that when I do this and I put this up, I'll get like 5 more likes on the Air 5 page. And I've never even really pitched it, but like just putting this, we just got a comment that said, what is this about?
Good. I think it's just kind of like, you know, kind of succeeding in a, like a non-traditional way.
I love the question.
Yeah.
So like this is about – so Not Boring Business, just for everyone out there, is explaining any kind of business. Just because I'm in LA, it's a lot of it's entertainment based. So like – and he's an entertainer and exploring people's pivots. So like – a pivot is a change in a career or a personal endeavor that kind of teaches you something. And you're kind of like an accumulation, I say, of like your mistakes. You know what I mean? Like it's not really a pivot. It's kind of like an evolution of like yourself.
Yeah.
So like you need to go through like mistakes shape you, you know?
Yeah.
I have a thing called Jeremy's threshold of mistakes that someone can tell you, hey, you can document 5 mistakes that I shouldn't make. And I won't make those 5 mistakes, but I will make, it is a law. I will make my own 5 mistakes.
Right.
You know what I mean? That like, I'll just have to pass on. You have to make a certain amount of mistakes in order to become, I think, what you're supposed to become. You know what I mean?
Listen, I worked in marketing.
Juan says, aw, okay, I understand.
Yeah. Hey, Juan. Yeah. I mean, I worked in, I'm a licensed life insurance agent.
You are?
Yeah, in the state of California.
That's awesome.
I don't even know what, but that's I was like, awesome. You know what? But I used to work in, but I have a marketing background.
Sure.
Didn't hurt when you got to promote yourself.
Yeah, right.
So I'm saying, like, it doesn't matter if we're in entertainment or not. The if you're selling, like, you know what I mean? If you're selling freaking fidget spinners or you're trying to sell your TV show,
sure.
The way to get there is still the same. The internet's still the internet. People are still people. Marketing is still marketing. And you know what I mean? It's you're selling something. So that doesn't change.
So how have you been able to leverage your personal brand for like getting other career opportunities?
I'll give you an example. I was pitching a commercial to Sony.
Okay.
Was in the room with people from Sony, and you know we wanted X amount of money. They were like, "So how do we know this is going to work?" I had them pull up a video that I did. I walked up to the video and I pointed to the number of views on the video, and I was like, "This is how." And then I sat down.
Fuck, <dude. laughs>
But I mean, the thing is, it's very transparent what I do.
How many views was it that you're pointing out?
100 million.
Fuck off. You've had a video that had 100 million views.
Yeah. Part of my bio is that I've been seen overall on many platforms, well over billions of views. Well over by billions, I mean maybe 2 billion. That's a lot of this.
And Juan nobody says knows savage.
Who I am. Yeah, nobody knows who I am. They're like, "You're that guy from that thing." I was like, "Yeah, that's why I'm not successful, because you don't know what I'm the guy from."
Yeah, that is savage.
Yeah. So
we love Juan here.
You know when people say stuff like, "Oh, like here's my card, I'm a producer slash blah blah." Mm-hmm. I was like, "Prove it. I can prove it."
Yeah.
Everything's transparent, especially on YouTube. You know what I mean? And I study analytics. Everything is transparent.
Do you feel like you have a chip on your shoulder and that you're constantly proving it out?
The thing is just like, I think other people try to kind of like posture, and I'm just like, prove it.
Mm.
Prove it. Like, prove your work. Like, and that's my business, is like being able to prove it, whether it's I have a reel of my humor, if you would like to book me, if you want as an influencer. It's like, listen, you can look at all my social. You can see the engagement. I can send you analytics. Male, female, or where, what country or whatever. I can show you all that. If you're down with it, cool. If you're not, totally fine.
Yeah.
But I'm giving you all the facts, and it's up to you to whatever. I'm not asking you to, like, trust me, please, I'm really good at this. I have a huge body of work on the internet.
Right. And you've been doing it for how long now? 10 years?
I'd say I got my break like on YouTube in 2009.
What was your break? What was that 100 million? That's in a whole nother – that's Justin Bieber level.
Yeah. Well, you'll find out why. So, I knew a girl who introduced me to a guy who I still work with today. I've done a couple of his films because he branched out into the film business. One of the films actually is at Sundance.
Oh shit! Nice. This year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm in it not as much as I thought I was.
Oh, but you do have like a 5 and under in it or something.
Yeah.
Oh, wow,
yeah,
cool.
I had a lot more in under, but I got cut. Not a lot more, but I had to. So he was getting involved. He was producing like YouTube videos. If you remember like the days of like iJustine, who's still around,
he's doing
wonderful. But I remember doing a video, and I remember meeting iJustine and being like, I was like, "Oh, so what do you do?" She's like, "This." I was like, "No, really, what do you do for a job?" I was that person.
Oh.
And I watched one of her videos and was like, "I'm eating a cheeseburger," and it had 2 million views. I was like, "What is this garbage?" And I was like, "Wait a minute, what is this garbage?" And then from there, I was just in very, very big videos. And then I was like, how do I parlay this into other things? And that's what I did. But the video that I was in, it has 100 million views. It's called Interactive Sex.
Interactive Sex.
Huge. I went very, very – and it was an interactive – so there's – the first video is over 100 million, but there's like 6 or 7 videos on after that.
Yeah.
So there's just a ton of click-through. Imagine people listening to one of your podcasts and clicking through to 10 of them, listening to all of them.
Yeah, sure.
That's the ticket, right. You know? As they say.
Juan also says, don't insult you by calling you Justin.
What happened?
Do you get called Justin?
Yeah, I have been.
Oh.
I was almost named Justin, but they named the dog Justin. They're like, well.
I love it, Juan.
Yeah, you named the dog Justin. We can't name me Justin. So I got named Jason. Yeah.
I will prove it, Fred, says Jesse. Jesse says, I will prove it, Fred.
Who'll prove what?
Oh, maybe they're talking to each other in the
car. Oh, okay, cool. Prove it.
Yeah, prove it.
Prove it. You know that whole thing? Yeah, so from there, it's just when people see you, and a lot of people are like, who is this guy?
Juan's dying laughing.
Okay, great. No. Juan, love it. Thank you and then I was like, how do I point this attention to me?
Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah. How do I leverage this?
Leverage. Yeah. And I learned that from marketing. So I was very good at that. I was better at marketing than I was at talent.
Just inherently, like naturally.
Yes.
Like you're naturally good at it.
I used to do a little music magazine that I made myself pre-internet.
Dude, you're entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
Shit.
But I was better at marketing it than I was at making it. But I learned so much. I was getting like in the mid 90s getting like $2,000 checks for like running an ad. No internet, I had a fax machine. Like from nothing, no skills. Couldn't write, couldn't read. I can't read.
Wow.
No, you know, but I had no education really.
Well, no, yeah, I get like how many books have you read in your life? Like books.
Under 20.
Like, nice. Yeah. I'm on pace for that.
Yeah.
Well, I've read one book, and it's the I probably shouldn't say this. One book, like The Third Wave. Okay. And I just read it last year.
I have that Mark Manson book, by the way.
Oh, do you?
Halfway through it.
Oh, my God, dude.
It's great. No, yeah. It is great. Yeah.
I've read the first few pages.
Yeah.
And the jacket.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And you're like, but it's sitting there, and you're like, this guy is prolific.
Yeah. Prolific. He is prolific.
Yeah. No, it's, no, I definitely have that book.
Yeah, I love it. Like, how far are you in?
Halfway.
You really like it?
No, it's good. But then I was just like, oh, no, I'm giving a fuck. So I stopped reading it.
I'm giving a fuck.
I'll wait till I start not giving a fuck again. Then I'll jump on board.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Okay. I want to be somewhat respectful of your time.
I'm, you know, and right now what I'm doing is I did two movies that are coming out in 2018.
Yeah, no, push. Let's talk about what you're doing right now.
I have did a true TV show that I'm doing another season
of. A true TV show?
Yeah, it's true TV. It's called Late Night Snack. Rachel Dratch is Late Night Snack. It's not airing
till I'll link June. It up in the show notes, too.
Yeah, yeah, when I get that. And then there's a movie coming out called The Thinning New World Order that'll be on YouTube Red and Legendary Pictures and then Netflix and iTunes. Movie Funny Story that's in – it's going to be at Sundance. And
wait, what's the Sundance one?
It's called Funny Story.
Yeah,
it's Funny Story. And then, I have my own podcast, Friends Without Benefits.
Yes.
That you're going to be on.
Yeah.
So, which is similar kind of stories like this. You can find that on – it's got a nice write-up on Splitsider, which was cool. But that's on iTunes, Spotify, whatever. And then my Twitter is Jason_Horton.
Jason_Horton.
Yeah, say hi to me.
Juan asked a question, and I always want to get to some questions.
Yeah.
So he asked, what was the hardest part about your career or in your career that you've had?
Good
question, man.
Probably the hardest part was like any of the first times I've done, like the first like YouTube video I tried to produce on my own, the first time I tried to do stand-up, the first improv class I took, the first like sketch, all those firsts were always the hardest, even though the stakes were the lowest. But for me, you know.
And what was hardest about it?
For me, it's like I wish I was already 5 years into everything. Like wish I was into 5 years into stand-up. I don't care. Like the journey, that's great, but I want to be in it now. I don't need to be great now, but I need to be in it. So it's just getting past that.
Absolutely.
Plus, I have fear from I have nightmares about high school. Like I haven't been to this class yet, and I show up, and it's like the first class. So I think it's a lot. It probably stems from that.
That's still a nightmare that you have to this day.
Absolutely.
I think. People don't – like when I started this podcast, dude, I didn't have any of this shit. Any of it. Like I didn't have a fucking –
Are you sure you're doing a podcast or you're just talking to the wall and you're like, this is a podcast?
Yeah. This is me talking to a microphone. Right. Like I didn't have any of this or this little set that I had to build. I literally got on my iPhone. I did a video and then I had like a little lapel mic or whatever. Like I bought like a little – these lapel mics. Put it in iMovie. Didn't edit anything, and then just exported it as an MP3. All right, we've got any more questions from the audience?
I guess nobody wants to be a millionaire.
Does anyone want to be a millionaire?
No. All right, cool.
All right, fine.
Fine.
All right, we're out of here. All right, thank you so much for coming on the show, man.
Thanks for having me.